Welcome back into the Pinerm Podcast, episode 163, 165, I think it is. Either way, we're in the 160s. Myself, Chris, and Matt here in the studio. Mm. Matt back from hiatus. Chris back here in the studio. Myself back in the studio. I think it's been a little while for all three of us.
The three of us? I don't think we've done this, just the three of us, maybe ever.
We did one other time. We did just the three of us.
I think we did it one time.
Yeah, I know for a fact we did it at least once.
And I think Coach is coming. He's gonna arrive at some point. I don't know when. He said he was gonna come in towards the end, but who knows where he might end up running eight different errands by the time we get done.
He's got to get ready for a big game tonight.
Yeah, Chris, you're rolling tonight. As much as I talked to my dad about bocce, you're obviously on the team.
Yes.
And do you take it as serious as he does?
No, I never have. But now there have been times, not so much this year, but like last year, maybe even the year before that, I would get really fucking pissed.
Well, I know that you would get nervous too.
Yeah, right. Well, you mean you got Joe Dolan down the other end
does he coach you?
No, he usually coaches whoever's down there with him, and it's been weeks lately. But when I do it, I just like last week we split, and it's the only time Joe Dolan actually played bad. But I didn't feel bad because it's just good to know that at least it wasn't me.
Even the Titans fall.
Right.
They have the weak moments
right.
too.
Right. And I when I got there, we've won like 12 weeks in a row, 12 games in a row. And I said to your dad, I said, boy, something's got to give because we played Tom Traveri's team and they had lost like eight in a row. So it's like something's going to – and we lost the second game actually pretty bad.
Devastating.
And, so Joe Dolan, he texted us that night and just
Have a team meeting?
No, but you'd have thought Joe cost us like $5 million.
Well, I'll tell you
God, I was so terrible. I'm sorry, you guys. He's embarrassed. I'm like, well.
I bet you I know what Coach would chalk it up to. You guys weren't drinking.
Yeah, he gets upset.
Yeah, I know.
He said that to Tom Trey. He said all my teammates other than me, nobody's drinking.
Yeah, I know. There was a night relatively recently where you guys lost, I think, either two or maybe maybe it was a couple weeks ago because you guys have won a lot.
We haven't lost. Last week was our first loss in probably, it's been a long time.
Yeah, there was I don't know when it was. I think it was probably I don't know, this probably happened and then you guys went on your streak because it probably, it probably awakened some beast. But he came home and there was like a darkness. There was like a darkness to him, and I knew something was wrong.
Is he like Ramsey Bolton?
Yeah, he was darker than that. It was like,
oh boy.
I knew something was wrong too, and I thought he got into like a fight or something with the club. And then I think I maybe talked to you, and you're like, yeah, we lost.
I think that might have been last year, Job.
I don't know. I think it was recently. I think it was relatively recently.
Well, we only lost three times. But anyway.
Maybe he just
I took a picture of him last year. Or maybe it was Tommy. Because Tommy was down there playing with his team. And we lost the first game. And your dad was sitting in a lawn chair. It was between our next game.
Head and hands?
If you didn't know the guy and you looked, then someone would say, boy, somebody killed somebody in his family. it was just like, Mark, this is a bocce. If we win, I think we each get like $70.
Which by the time the season's over, you probably have spent more than that.
Yeah, he was just so. I mean, he's come around. He even said, "Well, I'm glad I don't take this as seriously as I used to."
Well, I'd always get on it because I'd get home and I go, "What?" He'd come home and I'd say, "What'd you?" Oh, there he is.
No,
yeah,
perfect timing.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Coach. Chris was just bringing everybody up to date on your latest bocce performances.
Just picked up the plaque for Lunch Madness Champions.
Wheeling Central. Lunch Madness.
Wheeling Central.
We're going to present them with their plaque and their gifts.
For their chipped ham sandwich and stale chips.
I'll be honest with you. Now that we're on the podcast, I can talk about this a little more freely.
Yeah, I'm glad he said that. I'm glad he brought that up.
Yeah, that's the most despicable win I've ever seen taking place in the history. It challenges the entire integrity of our entire program. I think it's absolutely.
Does anybody else have a chance ever again?
No, and I think we're honestly. Well, I think what we did last year maybe I'm wrong. I think we counted the public vote as a vote, as one vote amongst five votes. Yeah. So then, like, it would be the tiebreaker of if there was a tie. I think this year, next year has to change because there's no way there's no way they'd ever lose.
No, we got to have a panel of experts like Donnie Gilbert and other people on there that can give a real expert opinion, not just because it's Central.
It was the most despicable display of loyalty I've ever seen. In
well, no,
but are you surprised?
No, yeah, I guess not. No, but it's just even if I was a huge say I'm out of this and. I'm a Park guy. I'm not like a diehard Park guy. I've graduated.
We all
from Park.
Well, and Chris's daughter went to Park, so we all are. Park.
But I can objectively look at a lunch and say, you don't deserve.
Well,
to be...
we were hard on Park
last
we all
year.
Went, yeah, we were hard on them.
Last year
we were fair, but
yeah,
we were hard
and
on
this year we boosted them up. I thought the what they have pierogies.
Oh, they had
I
that
think?
Pierogi day. Yeah.
Pierogies, they were fantastic, and we lifted her up because she and that's what they need. Come back stronger the next year. This year for Central winning that, it's despicable. I think
tainted.
It's despicable. It is tainted. Tainted.
It was almost like the Biden victory.
There's gonna be a documentary on it, like the what was the referee documentary?
Tim Donahue.
Tim Donahue. Somebody in this organization was taking money and doctoring votes.
Well, Jarrett was the one reporting. Must have been Jarrett.
Jarrett's the Tim Donahue of Lunch Madness.
Or Steve from St. Clairsville voted like.
He
50
had
times.
40 burner accounts.
Yeah, burner phones, computers.
He created that.
They're going to find at his house like a garbage bag full of old Nokias, like they're old burner phones.
Well, here's what a concern that you could probably have now is if they've heard us talking and what we kind of think are pretty solid lunches, are some of these lunch ladies going to be fabricating their menu, like say, hey, look, man, all we got really this week is, chicken patties and some, mixed vegetables. That's all we got. But we're gonna write down. We got pasta,
beef tip fajitas,
So we're gonna have to start sending people out to these.
I don't know
to investigate to make sure it matches up.
Audits,
audit. Yeah, the lunch auditor will be here. We'll send Coach Nardone can volunteer to sign up for that.
The lunch
he'd be
auditor.
Great at that actually.
Wow.
So, I mean,
there's definitely going to be after reassessment of the tournament format.
Because there's no way that a school that only has how many students wins Lunch Madness.
Well, listen, I'm not going to discount their win. They won fair and square.
They didn't win fair and square.
Well, they won based on the criteria of how they could win. Yeah.
Circumvented the rules.
They have a loyal following.
They might have had a pep rally in the gym and everybody logged in on their phone and voted.
See, I disagree with you, Chris. I don't think the number of students should play a factor in the whether you win or not. If you provide a good lunch to 100 students, but a shitty lunch is provided to 500 students, I mean, I don't think the number of students should be accounted.
But they have it easy. They don't have to prepare that much. They say, okay, grilled cheese and crispy crinkles, or that'll work in a veg. You know, fruit.
That's why I was impressed with Park's pierogies and that kielbasa. I think that was. Right. I mean, to a large crowd, that's.
I mean,
impressive.
Central one dish and that's it.
Pizza
and it's it.
Sick.
Well, and then I remember, and Mark said on the radio that sometimes. Would you say less is more or something? You don't have to. It doesn't have to be a six-course meal.
He's saying this now, but during the tournament, he was saying it's a basic lunch that gets the job done.
You're playing both sides of the fence.
Well, I guess I am.
He's stirring the pot.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at Edison's lunch and John Marshall's lunch. Those were lunches that
mattered.
That you would travel and go eat.
Right.
You would. I would. If somebody said choose a school,
they invite
to go,
us up.
I would go there and have a lunch. Now, I don't think I'd go to Rush to Central for the lunch.
Tony's Pizza.
Cucumbers with ranch. Like that was it. Well, and then they just win in a landslide.
Well, if somebody like determines, we find out, let's just say someone was,
forging documents.
Now, there's going to have to be some kind of sanctions. I mean, you just can't
Let
them get
away. Well,
we'd
probably have to take it to – I mean, you'd probably get the Fitzsimmons involved. I mean, I guess not.
I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, that ain't going to work. Yeah, never mind.
Well, let's just say –
we're going to have to seek a third party.
Let's just say Brooke. Brooke only had hot dogs with some chili sauce. But then they told us, they submitted it to Mark or whoever, that, well, you know, they had this, this, and this, and it wasn't true.
So, you, yeah, we'll have to...
Give them the death penalty.
Do they do get sanctions?
Give them the what?
No, so they're
that
also,
means their lunch
no,
is
also, out for like 2 years.
School
closed.
The rest of the
before,
decade.
Before we have to have another, before we have to sign some or put out some press release, we are joking, just so you know. We're joking.
Oh, kind
we are?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got in trouble.
We got in trouble
once
before.
Oh, yeah.
Time for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Richard Nixon. Yeah. Damn it. What a comparison.
I heard your guys' radio show today until it went down, and it was very good, Chris.
What
the
hell happened?
Total power outage up on top of the hill, up where whatever that neighborhood would be called.
You know who it was, Matt? The Russians.
The UFOs. The Russians. Oh, well, it could have been.
Right. Well, they know what tomorrow.
But I enjoyed your music segment, Chris. One of my favorite songs is "Zombie," and I love Dolores.
Yeah.
I think she was awesome.
Yep.
She was awesome. It still makes me sad that she's gone.
It's awful.
Mm-hmm. She was good. She was so good. That song is one of, and Job always hears me playing it.
And once he gets it in his head, he sings it in the kitchen.
Oh, I just love that song. And yeah, I knew that
sticks
Chris.
With you when he gets
I didn't know that song was a protest song.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
In the music video.
The bombs and the guns.
Yeah.
In the music video, they're like walking.
Yeah.
That's what they were talking about, but I one of the reasons I knew even if you weren't here you would probably be listening, so I thought, well, I'm going to include that song just because
I love that song. I think it's awesome to learn, like when you're telling people what the lyrics mean, and not just in protest songs but in songs generally. Like, right. I was listening to music. We were listening to the radio today. We listened to music during the day. And I was listening to it, and I heard Eagles' "Hotel California" come on. Man. What is that song about? You can check out, but you can never leave.
Yeah.
Like,
check
what
out
is
any time you like,
but
you can,
never. What is the meaning? Do you guys have any idea? Like,
it's
supposed
up.
To have like a supernatural type thing.
That's
doesn't
what
it?
I. That's what I thought, that it was some kind of like The Shining kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
that
you
that
know,
would be...
and then like that song like. Mirrors on the ceiling,
pink champagne on ice.
Yeah, so that might be it, Matt. It might be some type of.
I want to say I looked it up once.
Some type of haunted.
Yeah, like a haunted hotel.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that album cover is pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess if you could, you could check out anytime you want, but you could never leave. Would sort of refer to maybe that.
So Hotel California.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's interesting because I don't know this.
Apparently, this is just I'd probably have to do some more reading into this, but it's a metaphor for the dark side of the American dream and the allure and dangers of excess, including cocaine addiction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably what it means when it said you can check out any time, but you can never leave. It's often interpreted as a metaphor for addiction, whether it be drugs or addictive nature of the hedonistic lifestyle.
So I guess that would say you could get help, but it would you once you're an addict,
you're always
an addict. Yeah. Oh, okay. See, so that's cool. I never knew that, and I thought, what do the lyrics mean? And then when I heard you talking about a couple of songs that with the Ohio, and I did not know
Dirty Laundry,
Four Dead in Ohio. I didn't know those lyrics. I could always hear it, but I didn't know what Four Dead in Ohio.
Oh, really?
I did not know that until you said it. I didn't know that.
Chris, you could do a whole segment of songs that have cocaine either hidden in the song
or
I mean, there's how many of them? I mean, there's probably like 20 that you could probably come up with in your mind alone.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to have to worry about topics your show.
No. But yeah, because like you could have volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of a certain thing. Yep. Like,
I still want you to do best beginnings, the greatest beginnings in the history.
Like
of
an entrance intro. Song.
Intro. In the entrance, and like the intro to the
like
song.
Before they even have a lyric.
Like, yeah, like the, yeah, oh, yeah. Like,
yeah,
there's,
like
there's,
the guitar leading or drums or whatever.
What about...
well, you know what would be a good song, and I always liked it, was the beginning of We Will Rock You.
Boom,
oh, yeah.
Boom,
that's
boom.
That's pretty
good.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, that's a catchy one, yeah. But those are, I think those, you could come up with a lot of those.
Do you know, all right, so I was looking up some of the unknown meanings in songs. This song, Dancing in the Moonlight.
By King's Harvest?
Correct. Apparently, the story behind "Dancing in the Moonlight," which, if you didn't know, is a pretty upbeat song.
Yeah,
"Dancing in the Moonlight."
Well, that's a great song.
Everybody. Yeah, so apparently, the songwriter and his girlfriend were staying in St. Croix one night, and they were both savagely attacked by a street gang. He was badly beaten with baseball bats. She was a word I don't think I can say. Well, I can. She was raped by the leader. Somehow they survived and got to the hospital. He wrote the lyrics while he was recovering, and they're essentially about if the night had happened in an alternative reality, and it was a celebration and a wonderful experience as opposed to harsh outcome.
Wow.
Never going to look at that song.
Would never have thought that had something to do with rape in that song. No. Jeez.
The Macarena is about a woman whose boyfriend joins the army and gets deployed, so she has a threesome with her two best friends.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. That changes that song.
Yeah, yeah, because...
The dance craze Macarena.
Well, that... And there was... Oh, it's song, and I looked it up before because I never understood the meaning of that, and it's like from the mid-70s. The song Wildfire, about that fucking horse. On a pony, she named Wildfire.
Wait, that's not American. No,
it was Michael Martin Murphy.
Michael Martin, yeah.
And what's it about?
Well, It was confusing, but it's more than just a horse. It's something about an old girlfriend that died, and I don't know.
Speaking of horses, what about Horse with No Name? What's that one about?
I think
that's
just
America.
Just being out in the fucking desert and you got nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the desert. You can't remember your name because there ain't no one to give you no...
Give you no shame?
I don't know. Is it pain, shame, name?
It says the song's meaning, A Horse with No Name, is it by America?
Yes.
Yeah. It centers around the idea of using a horse as a vehicle to get away from life's confusion into a quiet, peaceful place. It's a travelogue with an environmental theme evoking the feeling of being in the desert and escaping the rain. Which can be interpreted as a metaphor for life's hardship. Another one on here. Do you know the song Lola?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that. Yeah. That's
do you know the meaning on that one? I never knew that.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, Lola, this guy meets a girl.
Who sings that, Chris?
The Kinks.
Kinks. Yeah.
Okay.
Tells the story of a young man's encounter with a captivating individual named Lola in a Soho bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that Lola, who he thinks is a girl, turns out to be a guy.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that. I never knew that.
Wait, there's another song, too, that refers to that. Oh, shoot. By Neil. Oh, man. Oh,
Chris, you could do a song with a story. Like, there's a really good one with the guy who I think is not Stevie Wonder. I don't think he's blind.
What did you say?
He's not blind.
He says he's not blind.
Stevie Wonder's not blind.
Chubb says he can.
If you watch him give an award to, I think he gives an award to Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx, I think it was like the BET Awards or something. He gives an award to Jamie Foxx and just hands it to him. He hands Jamie Foxx.
That doesn't
award.
Mean he's not blind.
How can he see him?
There's that video of him
shaking the hand.
Like somebody walks by and reaches out.
I'm telling you right now, Stevie Wonder's
not
blind.
They have a sense.
Yeah,
blind people have
they
a
do
sense.
Have a sense.
I understand that, but
I bet he's not
they don't
fully
turn
blind.
Into the daredevil.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you right now.
You mean to tell me that he's gone through his whole life and he's not blind?
Worked.
Like if nothing else, Mark, why couldn't he just say... Like they could rig it or and just say, okay, because Stevie Wonder's probably like 75.
Yeah.
And say, okay, enough of this bullshit. We'll just make something up that I had this surgery, now I can see.
Right.
Like, or he just woke up one day.
Yeah.
He
couldn't get away with it.
I bet he's legally blind. But
he couldn't get away with it.
I just looked it up.
But why does he want to keep it going?
This is one of the top things on here. This person wrote, Stevie Wonder isn't actually blind or as blind as he claims him to be. I'm not really sure why I think this whatsoever, but for some strange reason, I always thought he was faking it. About a month ago, I was watching a basketball game, and Shaq told a story about how Stevie Wonder recognized him in the elevator of a hotel lobby.
Well, maybe he recognized his voice or like...
I also saw a clip of Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney performing Hey Jude when Paul knocked his mic over and Stevie caught it.
That's that sense they have, Job.
Says what
I'm
the
thinking
hell?
Legally blind. He can see shadows.
Is he
and stuff.
Secretly a wizard or a Jedi? There are some questions to be answered. And then somebody says he's not 100% blind,
that's
but
what
it's
I
pretty
think.
Bad.
That's what I think.
He can detect movement and large objects.
Right, right.
Well, you're acting like he can totally see, like, fine.
But there are
he's going to tell
got
you
20/20 vision.
He saw a video. He was driving down the street.
Right, on a motorcycle.
In a moped.
Hey, Chris, speaking of groups, my wife and I went with a group of people, saw
oh,
George.
Yeah. How was
it? It was good.
Was it?
75 years old, man. He put on a hell of a
Did
show.
He?
And here's what's amazing. We were.
Where real, was this at, Coach?
At Capitol. Okay. We were apprehensive about it. Mm. Scott Goodnight got us great seats. Mm. We were right in the front row in a loge box. There were just eight of us. Mm. The leg room, it was great. And we were apprehensive. Like, I said, I only know, like, one or two songs, but after once the show started, I knew like six or seven mm-hmm. of his songs. Yeah. I didn't realize I knew that many songs.
Yeah.
And a lot of his songs are still on the radio.
Yep.
They're on.
For sure.
Like if you're listening to
Eagle.
Yeah, you hear a lot of his songs. And he put on a really fun show.
You did about 2 hours?
Yeah, about 2 hours. Now I will say this, that they kill a lot of time with instrumentals.
Yeah.
Like drag out.
Oh, drag out instrumentals like, he'll get up there or one of them will get up there and do a 10-minute instrumental.
And he'll go take a break.
or even during they'll just sit back and have a guy do an instrumental. But overall, I thought it was good. I really totally enjoyed it.
Was the crowd any good?
Not bad. The lower level was full and the upper level was about half full. But it was a nice crowd for a guy that's 75 years old.
Yeah.
And he
that's
gets,
good though. That's
he
good.
Gets around on the stage. It was fun.
Yeah, and his most recognizable song,
One Bird.
Bad to the Bone.
Bad to the Bone. The minute that song starts with a guitar, you know right
oh,
away.
Oh yeah.
There's no mistake.
He saved that till the end. That was
did he?
Yeah, it was good. He came out for an encore, played one song, and he was done. But the guys that were working there, I saw Marty because they did security, and the guy that was there said when he came out, he like was just holding on to everything because he was ready to like pass out.
Oh,
he was sweating. Awesome. It was hot, and 75, and he gives you your money's worth. It was fun.
So he basically drained himself though.
Oh,
geez, 2 hours.
Yeah, and he gets after it. And
that's good.
He messes with the crowd, and it's fun. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Capitol's awesome. The Capitol Music Hall's awesome now, and that beer was cold, and I enjoyed it.
Did you have those tall twist off cans?
Well, they don't. They put them in cups now. They don't give you the can. They put it in a cup.
I'll pour it for you.
Yeah, because they said
projectiles.
They don't want. Yep, exactly. Oh, and then,
I was going to throw something at him.
In today's world, Chris, it's possible. I get why they cut. It's a shame they have to do
it
that.
It is. It's a shame they have to do a lot of things in life anymore because of certain idiots. But, like, my twist, I got a couple twisted tees at the end. They had to put it in two glass. I had to take
the
it.
The 24?
Oh, yeah, take it in a glass and a half. But it was like 10 bucks. It was good.
Did you go to the bridge first?
No, we went to River City.
Okay.
That was great. That was enjoyable. I enjoyed the heck out of that. I just don't understand why more people don't go there. The event in town, there were like 10 people there.
That's weird.
Shocking. And it's a beautiful place. Food was good. Josh was there. He's awesome. That was really, really a good night.
Yeah, I mean, and what else is going to, be in Wheeling? I mean, eventually, are there any more, not venues, but like, drink places or
I don't think there's any room for any more restaurants or drink places. But
I mean, just like because I like the bridge and I like River City, but where else?
But you pre-gamed at the Snake Club, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So and you got private clubs that you.
Where did you go?
He went to just the Bon Jovi.
Oh, did you end up using those tickets for the Bon Jovi?
Yeah, yeah.
John Bovey.
Was that good?
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean,
who'd you end up going there with?
I got Weeks and a bunch of guys.
Weeks. Well, Weeks is good. Yeah, Weeks.
Tommy went. Weeks had a date that night. Jamie McKittrick's wife. She went with us. And then he had extra tickets, but the Grillies were gambling, and Mike Bogers was over there, and he was playing roulette. So Weeks thought they were going to go in, but they never did. So,
Weeks never went to the show?
No, he did.
No, he did.
Those.
Oh, they didn't. Weeks is amazing. He's amazing.
And so, that's like the second show I've been to, like within the last 3 months. And 8 o'clock, boom. 9:30, done. Is there an ordinance over there, Matt? Do you know?
No, they just want you to get liquored up and gamble.
Because, I mean, they could have played another 5 to 10 recognizable songs from Bon Jovi.
Did they sound like them?
No, I mean, that's what they pay. They pay them for an hour and a half to lure people in, and then people like Weeks and them go play casino games. That's the whole product,
I don't know if you've
Chris.
Been over there, and I've only... What? So that's what...
That's the business plan.
Well, it must work, but Mark, both of the times, I think maybe they only have shows on Saturday, but...
Yeah,
both times coming out of there, the casino is fucking packed.
It's amazing. And all you hear is ding, 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 ding,
that's
ding,
it.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding. Your fucking head would spin.
It is amazing. And I bet some of the people that were there when you went in were there on a machine, were still there when you went in.
Oh, Bogers was. And he had stacks of chips on that roulette game. That's about the only table game I really know.
I'm so glad that never became a vice of mine to be on those machines.
It's something that I could see myself. I've had the demons whisper to me a few times.
You could sit there for hours and like lose time.
Not necessarily that I could sit there for hours, but that I could lose a lot of money real fast. Like,
oh well.
There's
a lot of things you can do for that.
Try baseball,
there have been
try fading the Pirates right now.
That's what I've been doing
last
for
4 days.
I've been doing
you
for
and
four
champ.
Days.
See, I that's why I don't. I guess I don't understand how you wouldn't be able, like, yeah, that wouldn't happen to you because you. That's kind of what you do now.
What wouldn't? Oh,
like how slots wouldn't appeal to you.
They just it's too.
It's too quick.
Yeah, too right.
He's got 3 hours to lose his money with a pirate game, and that's like 30 seconds.
No, that's a good point, Matt. That it really is a good point.
Or are you going to say that it feels like it's totally out of your hands? Like,
well,
you,
it
there's
is.
No...
That is out of your
well,
hands. But then baseball might
like,
be out of your hands,
well,
too.
Well, you
it
feel
is.
Like at least in sports betting
you have,
you
a little
have
of
an idea
knowledge.
Because you pay attention.
Yeah, you can have... Not that you have an edge by any... I would never use the word edge.
Not
but
in most cases.
But you have... You at least you feel like you're a little knowledgeable about it. With those machines... It's just, and it's Matt, like you say,
ding,
it's
ding,
what,
ding,
every
ding, ding, ding,
2 seconds
ding.
You could just.
You can go through $20 in a minute and a half.
I've seen.
Maybe less.
And you probably have better stories than this. Like, there'll be a woman in like one of those e-cars, and she'll have both hands on two machines, hitting both machines at the same time.
People that piss themselves.
There was
that's a sickness.
I watched some Louis Theroux. You know Louis Theroux? He's a British. He does documentaries. You gotta watch him, Louis Theroux. He does documentaries on all kinds of stuff, and he did a documentary on American casinos. And a woman, she had, I think it was close to like $7.5 million, like of inheritance, blew it all in the casino.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of sad stories like that.
That's terrible. I mean,
but here's the thing. All they do is keep putting up more parlors.
Yeah.
Besides the casino.
There's not enough of them. Look at Bogey's. They
Bogey's
just keep building a new one.
Bogey's puts them up. Gumby's keeps putting them up.
Everywhere. They're every few feet now you can find
them. And
they're
right next to each other.
Yes, right next. That's what I mean, because they're always going to have clientele. Well, I'm used to this parlor. I'm going to go try my luck.
Right.
These people are very... superstitious. They have a hot machine. They have a hot parlor. If they go on a cold streak, they want to try to switch up the parlor. They'll go. I mean, there's plenty. There's so many gamblers in this area.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know, because I don't go to a lot of other small towns like ours. I mean, because like in Maryland, they don't have that. It's against the law. So, but I don't know. Is there other towns like this where there's a bar every corner?
I don't
has
know.
Machines?
That's a good question.
I mean, we might have a big West Virginia, as you said last week about something about how we rank below everything. We're probably down there in addicted gamblers too, right?
I
up
would
there
say.
With Ohio,
well,
there,
and, obesity, yeah, right. Addicted gamblers,
bad education.
I was
lowest
watching
on
a
that.
Video of they do these videos I find on social media now where if like somebody that's familiar with an area will do like a little animation. It'll be like, for instance, like a little cartoon character going to eat. Each city in the state, and like it went, it was on West Virginia, and one went to like a southern county. It was just like it was like a cartoon of nobody with teeth and like coal miners mm-hmm. coughing up noises. And then it went to like Morgantown. It was WVU fans and like students like typing on keyboards. And then they went to Wheeling, and it was the sound of the Nailers horn. Some guy, I can't remember what he had on. He had some sort of like homeless outfit on, and then it was slot machines.
Slot machines.
And
that's what we're known for.
I just wonder if there's other towns. Are there other towns like Wheeling with so many parlors in such a small area and so many like town bars like the Warwood Vets, the Snake Club, the Cave Club. The Iola Club. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if other cities have that kind of, like, what it
was. And you used to have more of them, too, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. And you know, whorehouses were on every corner. A lot more bars. I remember at one time, I think in Warwood, there were, like, we had at least 12 bars in
I think
Warwood.
It was even more than that. Maybe not, like, but you guys would name from the start of South Ward to the south end of the...
To down to the where the batting cage was, and you know, all the in between, the M&K, the Vets, the Tuckers.
Yeah, the place on 8th Street, Tucker.
Butch's 17th Street. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were 12 or 15 bars, yeah, so there were more.
And pretty much anybody that lived in Warwood had one close where they could walk.
Oh, yeah, you could absolutely walk, yeah. So I don't know if there's, like, Fairmont or...
Right.
I mean, maybe there's smaller towns that have
I bet they do. I well, you've seen those before. Down in... driving to... Down on 79, you see those buildings. With this. They were, like, yellow buildings. You know, they were parlors. I know they were.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've seen some. But then we have a high volume for a smaller area.
That's just seeing it from the interstate. But yeah, maybe if you, you know, get down into the actual town, maybe it's not like that. But Jesus, I don't. Do we need that many?
I mean,
probably
I think
not.
Like if you go to Charleston, like when I was down there, like you got places like all the places that Chris Wade hangs out. I went there a couple times. It's a bigger, like it's not quaint like the Vets or the Snake Club or the Iola or the Cave Club.
Did you meet him at Recovery?
No. Oh, shoot.
What was Adelphia?
Adelphia, exactly. Yeah.
That's on Capitol Street.
Yeah, Adelphia. Yeah. Okay. Like, that is really a nice place. And right. But it's not, like, it's more of a big restaurant kind of where a lot of, you don't know a whole lot. Now, there's regulars that were sitting there in certain areas, but it's not like the Vets.
They have machines in there?
No, I didn't see machines. I don't know.
I don't remember a whole lot of places in Charleston that ever had
machines. That's
what I'm
saying. I don't remember.
It must be a county-by-county thing or something.
But it does seem like here in Wheeling, my God.
I mean, just coming out of Warwood, I mean, how many do you have in Warwood that have machines? You got, well, obviously, the Vets. There's that place at the Plaza. What's, do Garbo's have machines?
That's a good question. I don't know if Garbo's has them or not.
So, I mean, that would be maybe three. And then you just go up River Roads. You got the one.
River Roads got them.
Then Trent's.
Then Trent's,
then you can veer off to several different places. You got the Snake Club, then you go to the island. You got them all over the place.
All over, yeah.
The Bridge has them still.
The Bridge has them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you think you think places like that know who comes in there every day?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, if they're a good business owner, they
like. Do you think there's ever
Chubb's
a time
coming in? I have two hot dogs ready for him and his favorite drink,
absolutely.
And he's sitting there. He's not moving until it's dark.
Do you think if a regular comes in and there's like a person that just happened to stumble in there and sit down at the regular's machine that they'll say, "Hey, get out of here"?
I'm sure in some cases, maybe.
But you know, it was so hypocritical. It's funny. You'll see whether it's your outfit. Or another casino somewhere. They have a TV commercial, or even on the radio, and then they show it how much fun you're having, all the money you can win. And at the end, they have that little outlier that says, well, if you have a gambling problem, well, most of these people
have a gambling problem.
They're not going to admit that they have a gambling problem. So they're not going to, someone's going to have to, there's going to have to be an intervention.
That's a sad part of the industry is we pretend, like, basically as a company that we're supposed to care about these people. Our entire livelihood is based on that.
Right,
so
exactly.
So you can't, honestly, I know for a fact that, like, 90, I'll say 90% of the people that come in there have a problem.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get your touristy type people that just go out with their friends for a night and play.
And even if it's not a crippling problem, I mean, you get people in there that are just, they have that
massive amounts of disposable income.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm glad, too, that I don't, and I don't have any urge to gamble on anything. I can't.
No, you're lucky.
I know. Yeah.
I don't either. But do you think, and it's same with the alcohol industry, do you think, like any, whether it's a beer maker or whiskey, do you think they really give a shit if the people consume their product end up with a drinking problem?
What do you think's the more...
They'll say, please drink responsibly, but they don't really mean that.
But what do you think's more addictive? To me, gambling far and away is more addicting than alcohol.
Oh, I don't know.
Because I gamble when I'm sober. I don't, obviously.
I think it depends, because if you have access to it.
I would say gambling.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Because think about it.
You guys don't drink every day.
No, exactly. I gamble every day. Yeah. So to me, it's much more.
I don't know, but is gambling more accessible than drinking?
Now it is.
Now, absolutely.
Yeah. But, I mean,
if I don't
I
have
guess,
any booze in the
well,
house,
yeah,
I got an app.
I
can bet right there.
I guess
there.
That's true. I mean, as soon as you turn 18, you can download DraftKings and start. Or is that
it's 21 now. I mean,
but I mean, these guys all find a way.
But Matt, if you would much prefer not saying you got a problem because I don't think you do.
Of course I do.
But you would if you had to pick you would probably say, you know what, I'm gonna just swear off alcohol, but I want to keep betting.
Yeah, I mean if I was smart, I'd be better off drinking 7 nights a week than gambling. I would save more money if I drank 7 nights a week.
What do you think there is more money in the sports betting or gambling industry
gambling.
Or the alcohol industry?
Gambling, like. Hand over fist more, like way more.
I always ask Champ. I say, Champ, how do they build all those? how they build all those luxury hotels and casinos out there in Vegas? And he goes like, yes.
Yeah. Points at himself and MCU.
and in an indirect way, he is 100% right.
Yeah.
You know, we aren't directly helping build them in our little town, but we are part of the massive collection of people that help build that. Yes.
And it starts and it just keeps expanding.
Absolutely.
But Champs, like one of his bets though would be like, I'll take the Dodgers today for $5 on the money line to beat the White Sox.
Right.
But his theory is, and really he says, I'm not losing. Right. He might only win 50 cents.
That's what he does.
But you know what it makes him feel like? He goes and cashes his ticket.
Yeah.
And he might only make 50 cents.
To some people, that's more important.
It's just
that
win.
Validation.
It's a win.
I want to turn the profit. I don't give a shit about the winners.
100%.
Winners and losers every day.
But like if Becky Boo was still working over there and they're working regularly like she used to, and George comes up and says, I want to cash this, and all he's getting is 50.
She wouldn't even write him. Her and Griff, though, they won't write him those bets for those, like, we can win a nickel. It's like, no, George, I'm not writing you that bet. I'm gonna put it together like two parlays for you or something, two teams to make it more like, cause, I mean, he loses one of those bets, he's behind forever because he can never catch up winning a nickel. Because think about $5. You invest $5. How many nickels would it take you then to gain your $5 back? I mean,
but if he cashed like 12 nickels in a row, he would think he was ahead of
$5. And not just him. There's a lot of people
there
thinking the same thing. Well, I went 5-1 yesterday. Like, we had five winners of minus, like,
so you won 20 cents,
minus
but you lost
$360. Yeah. And the one lost, the five winners didn't even come close to covering the one loser you had.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what's funny is sitting at a bar when we're at the vet sometimes. And I don't know where I'm not even talking to him. Griff will come up with his phone. You see, it's my parlay.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
He's been a little quiet in that regard lately. Well, I think he's been on a tough slide.
Well, you can tell, too.
Yeah. Do you think 90% of the people that brag about a big bet they won also lost a zillion dollars?
People will try to ration with me and try to tell me they're ahead all the time. And I'm like, no, I know you're not. Like,
I don't think
not.
If you think – I mean, I would – I don't ever gamble, and I would say that I am – there's no way that I know anybody. I'm sure you guys don't know anybody.
No.
That is ahead.
What?
No.
That is ahead.
Nope.
No.
No possible way.
Unless it's a one-time bettor that will put a bet in, like my mom. Yeah, like, if my mom put in a bet in for the Super Bowl, hit the Super Bowl.
Right, and that would be it. That would be it. No, nobody's ahead. Anybody that does it as frequently as we do, or people that I know that do, in your dad knows, they're not. They're not.
I mean,
I don't care if they're ahead. They could even say, yeah, I've had an incredible 2 years. I'm ahead for 2 years. But all I could do is go back to three before that, and you've lost triple that.
Fast forward
where you're going to go, and you're going to go, because there are people that can get into hot runs, and that is a thing.
I've gone on a hot run. I thought,
I figured it out. I finally got it, right?
This is getting too easy. This is really fun. And then all of a sudden, you hit a cold streak. I'm not lying. Like right now, in baseball for me, I couldn't pick a winner right now in baseball if I just pulled him out of a hat. It's unbelievable. I mean, I bet the Mets to win the series. They got absolutely murdered. I had the Cardinals in over last night.
How about the Reds? Did you bet the young Reds pitcher last night at Boston?
I did not, but okay. I bet him the first night.
Because he only got
who
one
is
out
that
last
guy?
Night.
What?
That's Chase Burns.
Oh, he only got one out?
He got knocked out of the game in the first inning.
What, because against the Yankees his first time?
Yeah, he was incredible.
He struck out.
Everybody
five
was
out
touting
of
him last night. He got buried. All we took was bets on him.
Really?
They scored six on him in the first.
Because you guys obviously bet a lot. Has there ever been a time where you either lost a bet or were on a streak and you said, "This I gotta stop"? Like it's just, yeah,
like once
like
a
eight,
week,
like 8 days in a row. I've said
right.
that. And then here's what happens with me.
Big winner.
Here's what happens. I'm not doing anything tonight. I'm just gonna. And I've done that occasionally, not very often, and it's so relaxing because I'm not checking my scores or the games or. But then I say, you know what, the Pirates, there's no way the Pirates are going to beat they're losing the Mets three in a row. No way it can be possible. No way. So I'll get on, and I'm like, why? Why?
Yeah, but what about, though, there's got to be times where, okay, after last night, I'm that's it. I'm going to just take 3 days off, whatever you might say. But then you change your mind, and then just say you – place one bet on one game and you win, and then
you're back.
I'm glad I did that.
Yes, and then so well, you're not gonna. He's on a streak, so you're not gonna stop.
Well, because if I don't put on, and then I could win.
Right, and then maybe this is the beginning of a hot streak.
Right. Mark, I'd say, Pan, I'm quitting. I'm done.
Well,
Pan
you
would say,
the,
Pan would say, you know what they say? Nobody likes a quitter.
I don't think you guys are like, you don't throw like massive amounts
of
money.
No.
If I did that,
but
I'd be in that homeless video.
That's where it would scare me, is I would probably feel like I would get to the point where you'd lose $5 and you go, well, I might as well put a $10 bet down to try to get my money back.
Yeah. I will say over the time, I have learned a couple of valuable lessons. You don't chase. Don't chase.
See, I get bad.
And you don't double up.
No, you can't.
If you double up or you chase, that's when you get into trouble. And guys like Griff and other guys that lose, they chase.
You see it all the time.
They chase and they.
It's like the Martingale system. You keep losing. You keep doubling your bet.
You talk about casinos and how those. I mean, there's a reason that they put them on cruise ships. I mean, I've been on since I've been able to gamble. And once you're over international waters, I think you only have to be 18 to be in the casino. That place from 11 a.m. or 9 a.m. or whenever they open it, from the time it closes is. Completely
imagine
full.
That going on
completely
a boat
full.
And then just sitting in there the whole time.
It was like we would go down.
Stay home and do that.
Yeah, right,
but we
right,
would go
right,
down
right.
in the casino and we would be down there for I don't know maybe an hour and we'd be like we have to get out of here because there's no point in us even being on this cruise and we're sitting down in a casino that looks like we lay on like
right.
we're in the same place. But there will be people that stayed in that casino the entire day at sea. The entire day they would be sitting in that casino.
Do you think how many of them you think were there? They were like, okay, I'm going on this vacation, the cruise, and I don't do this regularly, so I'm just gambling. Do you think there's any like that?
Yeah.
Or all of them are like,
I think they're just
they're
addicts.
All addicts
they're
to begin
addicts.
With.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't gamble, so going down in there, I was like, this is cool. Because
you're
do
on
this.
Vacation.
Yeah,
because
I do it. I'm going to have
that would
some
be like
fun
my parents.
Throw some money down.
Right.
But I would never, I mean, they're guaranteed people down there, people that took that cruise and knew that
to be sure
90%
that there was a
of their
casino
time,
on the
they're
ship.
Gonna, yeah, 100%.
Well, and how many people have you ever have gone to Vegas and come back and told you, man, I won big.
No.
The only thing you ever hear is, I feel like I'm a winner. I broke even.
Right.
I feel like I won.
Those stories.
I only lost 100.
There'll be a couple times where in the rare times that I've been on a slot machine and gambled a few times, put $20 in the machine, play it down, and then work it back up to like $25. And instead of just saying, all right, I take my five and go, well, I'll play that five. I got five extra dollars. Let's play that down to 20. Then 20 goes to 15, 15 to 10. And then by the end of the day, I'm down $100.
Well, when people get up, they want to win more. So yeah. Then when you get down, you would say try to recover. And it's just the way it is.
Have you ever seen there are people in a casino, and I've seen this multiple times that people do it to me. I'll sit in a machine for, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and as soon as I get up from the machine, somebody snakes in behind me. I don't know what that's called.
Well, that's when they're like basically tailing you. You're playing the machine that you haven't hit, so you got up and left, and they think it's closer to a percentage that it'll hit. And there's always strategies, and there's actually some guys who write some great books on this stuff about how to beat the stuff. And there's guys who can beat the video poker, but the simple slot rolling things, those are hard to beat. So, but like you're on the end because end machines get more play. So the cycle, the theory is they're more likely to hit because they've been cycled more.
There was I saw a video of some guy. You know, there's the like virtual craps machines. Mm-hmm. They have like the big foam dice that they juggle around. I was watching some video of some guy explaining how to win every time, and of course.
Yeah, but he did.
Who on Hangover? What's his name?
Alan.
He read the
counts
book.
Counts cards, yeah.
Read the book on counting cards.
Yeah. Yeah. You know the song, is it Eco Eco? Ico Ico? You know that song.
I do?
My grandma said, your grandma said, your life on fire.
Set your life on fire.
Talk about, hey
Chris,
now.
It's a song on Hangover.
Hey now.
Okay.
Ico Ico on me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I saw that movie once, but anyway.
But that's a song that plays during when he's counting cards, and I guarantee you there are people that watch that movie and think, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that. You play blackjack?
No.
You never play blackjack?
I love blackjack. Mm-hmm.
Is that when you get online blackjack?
Yeah, that's a game that
can you play online blackjack?
Not much. No, I don't, because it's too...
It's rigged.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
it
online
is. Sure, it is. It's right.
You're playing online, man.
Yeah.
I do like sitting down at a casino and playing blackjack. That's really fun, especially if you have a full
dealer,
table
man.
and the dealer's cool.
And
I
if
like
you can
that.
Find a minimum of like $5 or something, but that's hard to find anymore.
Oh no, it's all 15 now. I mean, 15 maybe.
So
10.
Matt, before we wrap up, who's the Wimbledon under your sleeper that you gave on? Better's last stand.
Well, on the men's side, there wasn't going to be any sleepers. Although Alcaraz got battled pretty good, it'll probably be him in center in the final. I think Alcaraz, but I think Djokovic, who just dropped the set there.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think he'll be if he can, he'll get better as the tournament goes on. And if the thing goes five, he's just the best of five. So I think he'll have a shot of maybe making the finals. But I think it's Alcaraz is the win. I'm against golf here, so I think Stremska's got a shot of beating her. I don't know if she can hang on, but I can at least cover the game spread. And the women's side is wide open. Sabalenka's been okay. Rybakina seems like she was my pick to win it for the girls. So we'll go with her, Elena Rybakina. The women's is kind of up in the air. Men's, I think, will be pretty formful. But some upsets already on both sides.
Coco in a little trouble
That's all right.
Yeah. No, this
it's
is
all right. She's going to come back, you mean?
Her
to get beat.
Yeah, it's okay if she gets beat.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
All right, guys. Well, that was good gambling
talk.
Good
to be back. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Song talk.
Real quick, I think it was a real early podcast where Jarrett said when you call 1-800-GAMBLER, they just give you a lock.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like one of those automated phones, North Coast Sports, and they give you the
winners. Before you give it up, we got one more.
Tonight in the NBA.
Hit one if you want to continue this call. Hit two if you want a winner.
That's another thing.
I just still can't believe that those guys still have those services.
Absolutely.
Because, again, they're preying on desperation. It's desperation. Yes. It's coach has lost 7 days in a row. He's desperate. He sees a commercial for a guy. This guy's on a 82-6 run. You know what? Might as well give this guy $20
absolutely.
And see if he can get me out of my mess.
You know as well as I do, and I don't even gamble. That guy doesn't know anything different.
I saw Tout give out 6 plays in Wimbledon today, and I think he was 1-4 going into this day today. And I mean, like, people were on him. I mean, some of them you just got to go against.
I know a group of guys that wanted me to put money in to get into a Discord server.
Oh, I remember
a guy
you said that.
That.
Did you guys end up doing that?
I didn't do it.
They ended up doing
but
it?
They ended up
Are
doing
any of them
it.
Driving a sports car now?
No, of course not. Of course not.
For sale
I think they wanted this. Right. The guy put out like a taster, like here's what I provide. They won that, and then it was like $50 a person to get into this thing. I haven't heard the guy's name. And
yeah, exactly.
Well, I listen to Veasan all the time. I listen to those guys. And. Yep.
No, they got the most credible people on there.
I listen to Greg Peterson a lot.
Peterson's pretty good.
He's pretty good, but he's not. I don't know. He gave out like 12 plays yesterday. He went 6-6. Well,
the problem
in
with Greg is he plays every game.
That's
every game.
Side
and total.
That's my problem.
Yeah, he plays side and total on every baseball game and every college basketball game the whole year.
Yep.
So if you can get his top plays,
and
parse through what are his best plays, then he's good.
Like I say, he gave 12 plays.
If you give out 12, I mean, that's what you're mostly going to do, and you're going to lose the juice. And
right,
you're
exactly.
I mean, unless you're betting money lines.
But giving a side and total on a game is it's nearly impossible. Yeah.
If you have one opinion a day in baseball,
absolutely,
you just beat her. See.
Oh, that was in.
That's
okay.
It. See
wow, Coco
is
gone.
Oh, there's one of the winners I did have.
There
a nice
you
big
go.
Plus
what a
price.
Way to,
right. What a way to end the show.
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July.
Be safe if you're blowing up fireworks. Yes.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Yeah, happy
Thanks.
Birthday, Chris.
Yeah, happy birthday,
happy birthday Paula. Paula today.
Belated. And don't have your – don't come up with a nub if you're
shooting.
Don't
drink and drive. Don't drink and shoot fireworks.
If it's all numb and stingy, wrap it in some gauze.
Looks like a –
I thought that was going to be a rhyme. If it's all numb and stingy, wrapping in a, I didn't know what you're going to rhyme it with. But.
All right, thanks, guys. Listen to Pioneer Podcast. We'll see you next
USA.
Time.